everybody. This is Armand DeMille.
And this is Roberta Maria Atti.
Here with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM, bringing you ideas, concepts, and revisions. Help you lead a more positively minded life.
Revisions, I like that.
Yeah, well, revisions is a good word.
Yes.
You know, because I've been stupid. You know, I thought things at one time and then changed my mind. You thought things and changed your
many
mind.
Many times.
That's a revision.
Mm-hmm.
Revision, to see it another way. We're going to look today at depression. And the reason I look at depression with you is because we get so many calls from people who know that we are holistically minded, tend to favor as many natural things as possible to help you in your journey through life. The station, you know, the medical people, you and me. So everybody comes to me and asks about depression. So recently, since I gave this $150 special through WBAI during the fund drive, we had a lot of people coming in who were depressed. And they're depressed and they keep asking the same question. They said, I want to treat my depression with natural means as much as possible. I do not want medication, which I fully understand and respect. So today I wanted to talk about treating depression without medication and how it all works and how the medication works. And for this, I'm going to call on you, Roberta, because if anything, I would say a big percentage of the number of people who come to you about health issues are people who are depressed. Is that not true?
Yes, it is, Armand. I believe depression is one of the major epidemics, and depression is not just a mental and emotional imbalance. It's definitely a physical one. So you can approach it from, you know, a number of different perspectives. But I would say that a good percentage of people who walk through my door seeking help seek help for depression. Yes.
So now, Roberta, I remember many years ago, we know each other quite a few years at this point. And I remember when Gary Null used to say on the air that he thought the primary cure for depression was, I think he thought two things. He thought St. John's wort. He was big with St. John's wort for a while. Then SAME and then 5-HTP,
mm-hmm.
Right? Or SAME. Let's talk about these three. You've worked with people over the years, and you are a believer, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think searching for relief for depression has always been one of my major goals, because so many people are suffering with it. So, yes, I was a believer that things like SAMI or 5-HTP were a good answer, maybe not the answer, the only answer, but a good answer, because when you look at the theory behind, let's say, 5-HTP, Armand, the theory is impeccable.
It's beautiful. I've seen
it. It is. It's
How could it not work?
Like a star in the sky.
Sure.
And so who would not want to follow it, you know? Who would not want to try to put it into practice to the best that they can? And actually...
And St. John's wort also looked pretty good.
It looked very good in all the studies they did, et cetera. But I think 5-HTP was really, of all the theories, was really the one that seemed to make the most sense.
How is it supposed to work? Do you mind explaining it in a brief moment?
I don't mind at all. 5-HTP stands for 5-hydroxytryptophan, which is the precursor of serotonin. It's an amino acid. Tryptophan, if you recall,
turkey,
was taken off the market for over a decade because of one contaminated batch that made people sick, I believe with salmonella, a long time ago, that came from Japan. And so the FDA took it all off the market, and for a long time people couldn't buy tryptophan. So what the supplement industry came up with was a legal version of it called 5-HTP that is 10 times more concentrated than the original one. So let's say if you normally would take 100 milligrams of tryptophan, you would take 10 milligrams of 5-HTP.
Now the,
and the and way it works is because tryptophan, the amino acid, is what the body uses to make the neurotransmitter serotonin. So the concept, the theory says, well, if you lack serotonin, if you are depressed, it means that you don't have enough serotonin to go around for what you need. So if you increase your intake of the very raw material that the serotonin is made from, it follows that you should have more serotonin and therefore you should feel better. That was the theory.
You know, and I understand the theory. I think one of the things we're going to have to explain, Roberta, is what depression is. And then we're going to go through all these different chemicals, and we're going to go through depression. We were searching for a metaphor. Now, it's always fun to find metaphors, because what we search for is a metaphor of one that you could visualize. And here's what we came up with. We came up with this idea that depression is a little bit like a house. You know, you're in a house, and then you've had electricity coming to your house for a long period of time from the outside. But what you didn't notice is that you were using too many machines, and so you started burning out your cables. But you didn't know you were burning out your cables. And then eventually your circuit breaker goes off, and you don't have any electricity. So now you're in a house without electricity, and you don't know what to do because you're completely in the dark. So the metaphor of depression that we're going to try to work with is, you're in a house, you don't have electricity, and electricity is the life force that you need to feel awake, alive, and vibrant. Instead, you're in the dark, and you're in a cave, and you're depressed.
So, and everywhere you look, you can't see, you can't even see what you're looking at, because it's
so
dark.
You give up.
You can't find your way around. And you give up, and you feel discouraged, because no matter what you do, if you can't see where you're going, things are rough.
And so somebody comes along and says to you, here's something that's a substitute for electricity. You know you needed electricity to keep your house alive? Well, this 5-HTP, what it does is it's a precursor to electricity. It's lightning. You see?
Well, it's, you know, if we want to go with that
metaphor,
I would say 5-HTP turned out to be a candle, a tea candle.
Right, but we thought it was.
We thought it was a
lightning rod.
Flashlight, yeah.
Yeah, we thought it was lightning that was going to give us electricity, because they said, here's a thing that comes before electricity.
Right.
And it turned out to be a candle. Mm-hmm. It turned out to give you a tiny bit of light. But we don't know where that light came from.
Which
that light
is better than nothing. I mean, it does, you know, it can do something. But, and again, Armando, if we talk about real severe clinical depression, mm-hmm. you know, 5-HTP...
Won't touch it.
Won't touch it.
And you thought it would.
I did.
Okay, so now let's look at the idea of... So now we have, and I think we have to talk about neurotransmitters for a minute.
Right.
If we're going to talk about this whole idea of how depression works, we're going to picture the electricity source. I'm going to keep trying to work through
mm-hmm.
this,
it's
you know.
It's a good metaphor.
You know, and
definitely.
You need to have the electricity, but before you could have the electricity, you've got to run some lines past your house. And the electricity has to go through, and once the electricity goes through and it goes into your house, where does it go?
Right.
Well, you have, you know, on every plug, there are two plugs. There are two wires. One wire brings you electricity, and the other is called the grounding wire.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you have two prongs on a plug is because the electricity has to go back somewhere. And what that plug is called, that's the grounding wire, is the electricity comes in for you to use, and then it goes out through the grounding wire into the ground, believe it or not.
Hmm.
They send that electricity into the ground. You have to get rid of it once you use it.
Wow.
Now, we have in the human body a thing very much like that. They're called esterases, E-S-T-E-R-A-S-E.
Mm-hmm.
When we have serotonin, or when we have something we need to use, like an amino acid, after we use it, we have to clean it up and get it out of there. We can't just leave it sitting around.
Mostly because it needs to be recycled, because it takes a lot of energy to produce neurotransmitters, and the brain functions on a very delicate balance and economic system whereby every molecule that is produced is either utilized or it has to be recycled. And in order to be recycled, it needs to be dismantled and broken up into its smallest components and stored back into the neuron in the reservoir of the raw material that is used to make neurotransmitters. Once a neurotransmitter is needed, the neuron, at the end of the neuron, there is something that puts out these molecules, neurotransmitters, and these neurotransmitters trigger an electrical impulse in the next door neuron, and this is how neurotransmitters stimulate the nervous system. Now, between one neuron and another, there is a gap, and that gap is where the little molecules, the chemicals, kind of swim around, and that's where they are deposited in order to be picked up by the next neuron.
So, for every nerve transmission...
Was that clear?
Almost. But you know what the trouble is? Trouble is, even though you were showing it to me with your hands and I could see it, they can't. So what we're going to do is slow it down and say we have two neurons, right, like two houses, with electricity going between them. And then if one house receives a charge from the other house, it says, okay, we'll send a house down the line. We'll use it. It's like houses in serial. That's not even clear. But it's not an easy thing. It's kind of tricky. It's tricky. But the one thing we know for sure is that acetylcholine, serotonin, dopamine, a whole bunch of these things that we need come through and get wiped up. Now, sometimes, and this is where depression comes in, just to make it simple, serotonin gets wiped up before it gets used. And when serotonin comes through and gets wiped up before it's used, you know, can you imagine? Imagine somebody delivering a quart of milk to your house, and then somebody drinks the milk and leaves the bottle at your house. You don't get a chance to use what's being delivered to you. It's already being consumed or taken away. Now, when the serotonin's not there and not used and taken away, your body is looking for it, and when it can't find it, it throws a circuit breaker, and your house goes dark, and you get depressed. Okay. So it makes sense. We're going to look for candles. We're going to look for electricity.
And with depression, Armand, even though serotonin is one of the key neurotransmitters, actually, dopamine is involved in it. It's actually more than one neurotransmitter.
Sure, and acetylcholine is very important.
That ends up being in short supply, right.
So one of the things that we hope to do with all of these chemical cures, and when we say chemical cures, I'm going to include all nutrition, because I don't know how we think of nutrition other than it is chemistry. When you think that you should cut down on your sugar, you are saying, I have to change my chemistry. When you think you should increase your fats, you're changing your chemistry. Everything you put in your body that you eat alters your chemistry in some way. If you eat a piece of fruit, your chemistry changes.
Right.
If you drink water, your chemistry changes. Mm-hmm. If you don't drink water, your chemistry changes. So since this is all chemical change we're looking for, we're saying, okay, we must have a natural source. And we went through a bunch. CoQ10 was another natural source that we thought was phenomenal. And then there were B-complex vitamins, glutathione, essential fatty acids, St. John's wort, as we said, SAME, and so many things that people tried over and over again to try to say, this should help me. Now, some people, it did help, and we'll explain why. But mostly, it has not shown a positive effect.
Well, at least not enough to justify spending hundreds of dollars a month on these things that in the end really don't do it.
And the worst part is that when you spend the hundreds of dollars and it doesn't do it, you have one more reason to be depressed.
Right.
No, you do.
I'm laughing because it's true. It's terrible. They are so expensive.
They're so expensive.
These supplements, yeah.
Now, we have found a number of supplements in life that have worked great. I mean, think about herpes. Right now, mm-hmm. Roberta, you will treat somebody with herpes, and I think 90% of the time you probably could cure it by recommendations. Right? Not you cure it, but you help the person cure it.
Oh, actually, I have figured out a way in which I can help someone send the symptoms of herpes into remission. Now, curing a virus is not possible because viruses are not cured, but certainly the symptoms of a virus you can offset, and that's what I've been able to figure out with herpes in particular, and all kinds of herpes, genitals, labial, chicken pox.
And the treatment is
the most important ingredient in the formula that a person has to utilize is L-lysine, and this is now known all over the world just about that L-lysine can reduce the severity of herpes symptoms.
So if people have herpes and they have outbreaks every now and then, the L-lysine is a terrific tool.
Yes.
In the war against the outbreaks. Now, I think what you said is right. You don't cure herpes, but you could send it into remission.
Mm-hmm.
The real thing is when you could send it to somebody in the government. You send herpes to, okay, George, start scratching. Okay, now there are a number of... Well, we got some spooky stuff to talk around depression, too.
Okay.
But let's look at some of the things that were discovered that were remarkable for physical conditions.
CoQ10
for the heart.
Wow, that's a great one.
I mean, what did we discover there? We found people who had heart attack, weak hearts, you know.
Yeah, they've
strokes,
been giving
everything.
It in the intensive care unit to people who have had heart attacks, and it helps. It makes a difference.
CoQ10 for the hearts. What did we discover for glaucoma? Didn't we discover something?
Well, glaucoma, there are phytochemicals in berries that make a difference for the eyes, especially glaucoma, but even macular degeneration. All of the chemicals that make berries dark, the dark blue and red, those are fantastic for eye health. What about
arthritis?
Are the essential fatty acids for arthritis?
It's at this point now where even I went to a physician one day and I said to him, you know, I got a little leak in my hand. He said, oh, that looks like arthritis. He says, I got to tell you something. He said, before I recommend anything, he says, take the essential fatty acids.
They give them to
the physicians
by prescription.
Yeah.
They give Eskimo something or other, which is a prescription EFA, which, you know, that's great. And in Europe, they give injections to people with cirrhosis, injections of silymarin, which is a phytochemical that is the only known substance that can reverse cirrhosis.
So this is Armand DeMille with Roberta Maria Anti. We're talking about the nutritional approach to depression, and we're going to talk much more about it. We're going to talk about how really it didn't work, but we're going to get to that for you. First, we're talking about some of the other things that have worked tremendously, discoveries. Like Roberta, you have seen a lot of people go through cancer radiation treatment.
Mm-hmm.
They opted for the radiation treatment. Mm-hmm. They go through it. What did you discover about people who are going through radiation treatment that basically is an essential adjunct to what they're doing?
Well, what I've discovered is that radiation and chemotherapy are very destructive for the digestive system and in particular for the intestines. So people who go through treatments that are designed to destroy the cancer, often the treatment also destroys the person's ability to absorb nutrients from the small intestines. So things that... nutrients like digestive enzymes, for instance, that help with breaking up of nutrients and make them more absorbable are godsend for someone in that situation.
And in fact, to go through it, you know, the problem with most radiation and chemotherapy is because of the destruction of the digestive enzymes, you practically die from the process
itself.
Correct.
You die from malabsorption, yeah. Especially if you started out already weakened. So that's a real danger of chemotherapy.
And there's a marriage. There's a marriage of the chemotherapy with the nutritional therapy.
With digestive enzymes.
You know, fantastic. Yeah. Antibiotics. People take antibiotics. It's no doubt that antibiotics, there are some things for which there is no substitute for antibiotics. When you got a deep, deep infection, now I'm not talking about a light infection. I'm talking about you get one of these real serious...
Syphilis.
Syphilis is one.
That's a killer. And,
right?
And
it try
kills
to cure that
with
CoQ10. Yes. It won't work,
horrible.
And it won't work if you take, golden seal root?
No. Syphilis,
right?
You better have some antibiotics. And if you do... That's it. Syphilis is gone bye-bye. It's a miracle.
It's like three-day treatment.
Yeah, which syphilis used to be one of the main killers of people, and it's a horrible disease when it's allowed mm-hmm. to progress. Leprosy.
Leprosy. Now, you've been in the middle of a few leper colonies.
Definitely, and to think that a couple of pills could have prevented the suffering is just amazing.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm all in favor of antibiotics if they're used for what, you know, for where they can really save lives and prevent suffering.
But to be
they're
taken,
miraculous.
And I know you're against them, if they're taken just arbitrarily for very light infections, as are recommended very often as a convenient way because of what it does to the body. But let me ask you something. Even if a person is taking antibiotics, their digestive system goes out of whack, and here again comes nutrition. What has been the recommendation?
Definitely, because antibiotics kill all bacteria, not just the pathogenic bacteria. So they also kill the bacteria that are friendly and that we need. And so we take antibiotics, okay. We also take Lactobacillus acidophilus and Bulgaricus and all of the strands that are friendly. Not only that, but we've learned that in order for them to work, we need to feed them because, after all, bacteria are living organisms. So we now know to take Lactobacillus with FOS, fructooligosaccharides, the stuff that feeds the bacteria. Major difference.
And you can tell it in your bowels. You know, I mean
yeah,
you're really, you know,
either
you're constipated or you have the runs, one or the other.
It used to take months to recover from an antibiotic treatment. And now, in a few days, you're back to normal.
So here we are, my friends. You know, you could see the merger of medicine and nutrition. That natural health does not necessarily mean you have to keep out the medicine completely. But let's take a look at, go back to depression. So here we are in a dark house. And the metaphor, once again, electricity is coming to you. And the electricity has worn out. You've decided that you're going to buy all this equipment, right? You're going to now have a computer and you're going to have this and a television and everything else. But you live in an isolated house. And the electricity comes to you, and it burns out your wires. And it burns them out, and there you are. You throw a circuit breaker. Now you have a circuit breaker thrown somewhere away from you where you don't know where it is, and you don't know how to get the electricity flowing back to your house. And that's what depression feels like. And you sink further and further because you can't move. You can't go anywhere. And you're looking for an answer.
And
but
when
you
try, you get hurt even more.
That's right. You get hurt. You stub your toe. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything because the place is dark. Well, one theory comes along and it says what we got to do is oxygenate you. Mm-hmm. We're going to oxygenate you. We are going to give you oxygen to your system. Well, that's kind of terrific because if you follow the protocol that it would take to oxygenate your system, which includes soaking your feet in peroxide, mm-hmm. right, and breathing oxygen, getting an oxygen machine and actually literally breathing it, mm-hmm. plus changing your diet completely and doing a certain regimen of exercise. But if you did all of that, you wouldn't be depressed in the first place.
Right.
And if you did do all of that, and you did it, and somebody did it to you, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? If somebody put your feet in the peroxide, and they still gave you the oxygen tank, and they it would be the equivalent of being in a house that is dark, and that you still talk, but the windows are open because you're now getting oxygen. Mm-hmm. Or you put an air conditioner in it, now you're getting oxygen, but you still don't have electricity.
Well,
you don't have the thing that keeps you going.
You're saying something very true, that if someone is able to get organized enough to do all that, getting organized is the antidepressant, because someone who is very depressed cannot do all that, cannot get what you just described. Depression is paralyzing when it's really severe. So someone who's able to get out, go to somewhere to find an oxygenator, find the right kind of oxygenator, learn how to use it.
Go to the doctor's office, wait online in the doctor's office.
Make enough money to buy all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a way of making money. So when you're able to do all of that, we're not talking about depression. We're talking about maybe dysphoria at worst. So when we talk about real depression, in fact, this is what I've observed. When a person is really depressed, if they try to get out of the depression, even by taking a teaspoon of B-complex, that might actually retaliate. That very attempt might actually turn against them. The irony is that depression... When a person is really depressed, the main symptom is a kind of paralysis. So it doesn't, you know, to say, well, you need to take 65 different supplements a day, and you need to exercise, and you need to...
You're skirting the issue. Let's talk about the spirit. Let's talk about the spooky spirit that's going to get even. You know,
well,
you really believe it, too. And I believe it, too, in a funny kind of way, Roberta.
I believe it because
Roberta believes there's a guy.
Well, not a guy.
A
an
gal,
entity.
There's an entity who, once you're depressed, has determined that this is the only thing that it can do for you, because you're without electricity, and it assumes you're getting nearer and nearer death. So it wants you to consume less energy. It wants you to consume less oxygen. It slows your breathing. It makes you sleep more. It lays you out there. And that there's this guardian entity that if you try to get undepressed by doing something, like going to do exercise, it retaliates.
My belief is that severe depression, Armand, is this... entity. It's almost a form of possession, in the sense that, you know, not a devil or anything like that, but there is some intelligence, let's call it, that keeps you prisoner in this dark place. And if you attempt to stick out your toes, that entity is gonna slap you and send you right back in. Not because it wants to hurt you, on the contrary, it's trying to protect you. But it is an entity that is so primitive and so simple-minded in some way, it's a guardian, and it guards you, and it doesn't allow you to get out, because it believes that if you get out, you're going to get killed.
Right. This is Armand DeMille with Roberta Maria Atti. This guardian of the depression has to be dealt with in some way. It has to be a negotiation. We're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about how chemistry works, how the SSRIs and what the drug companies are offering works, how that works, how it doesn't work, and what the end goal is. Because the end goal, as far as we're concerned, is to have enough electricity that you generate, and to have your own generator so that it goes through you, it passes through you, and it regenerates.
Right.
The ideal is to...
But you first need to negotiate with that guardian.
And you gotta retire your guardian. You gotta let him go down to... where should he go? I think a nice island would be a nice place.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Maybe Martinique would be a good island.
That's an excellent idea.
It's an excellent island.
Let's see what happens if we do that.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, a little music from Martinique, and then we'll continue our discussion about depression.
Nothing like a little singing.
Kali, K-A-L-I. Many years ago, Debranché. Kali's from Martinique. I got the album in Martinique. I hope you could find it somewhere. K-A-L-I. Some of the nicest music. And of course,
very lively.
You're hearing it in French. This is Armand DeMille with Roberta Maria Atti. Lively music. We talk about lively music, and that'll make anybody who's depressed feel better, won't it? No! You see, we keep looking for the single cure. I am depressed, and so I'm going to go listen to music.
Hmm.
I am depressed, therefore I'm going to exercise. So there's a man who loves his wife, and he goes over to his wife, and he sees his wife laying around. And she's just laying around, and she won't do anything, and she watches television. And he loves her, and he says he knows all about nutrition, but he's not depressed. So he says, look, if she takes all of these drugs, and I give her all of these drugs, and if she stops eating sugar, and I take away the donuts, right? And if I get her outside, and we take a walk around the block, and if I get her to exercise, and then if I stick her feet in peroxide, and I do all of these things, there is a chance through my efforts as a loving man that I can help my person get out of their depression. And I'll tell you something, it may work.
Hmm.
Do you know why it may work?
Why?
Because to have somebody giving you that much attention might eventually get through to you.
Hmm.
It might break the spirit. It might tell this spooky spirit that's protecting you by telling you stay down there. It might look and it might say, oh, look, here's a person who actually cares.
Hmm.
Now, of course, but people are always looking for a single thing. Will, you know, does a good music concert cure depression?
Well, we've been indoctrinated. Maybe that's not the right word, but we've been convinced, we've been told that for every illness, there is a pill, one thing you can take that is going to get rid of at least the symptoms, if not the illness itself. So we have this mentality that one disease, one medicine, you know, one.
And it doesn't
thing,
have to be a pill because it could have been a bark.
Well, one.
You know, it could have been a berry.
One solution, one answer to that one question, one. Armand, whenever you have worked with someone, whenever someone walks through your door and asks you, why am I depressed, can you tell me the one reason? Is there ever one reason?
Well, you see, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people come in and they say, look, I'm married and I'm in an unhappy marriage.
Mm.
And I think that's why I'm depressed. If I get out of my marriage, will I stop being
mm-hmm.
depressed?
Yeah, I've heard
and
that.
And that's classic, you know.
Right.
Or should I dump the bum? Should I get rid of this person I'm related to? Or maybe I'm depressed because I have this job and I hate my job. And so they come in and they ask. They really think there's a single solution.
Right, right.
And I, being the master of, you know, being able to intuit things,
mm-hmm.
should be able to give them the one answer.
Right.
Here's the thing you got to do. But you see, the problem is the structure of depression is such that it calls from everything. It calls for a total picture that has to be seen. It's like people losing weight. Roberta, somebody comes to you and says, I want to lose weight. Should I cut out my sugar? And you say, but there's not one reason.
I find that the hardest, the most difficult thing to do is to get people out of that belief that a problem is caused by one thing. A problem is like an image. You take a snapshot, you look at an image that has a lot of different details and factors in it, and you have to look at all of them in order to appreciate what's really going on. And so to say, well, it's that detail that I need to change in order to change the picture. Yeah, you'll change the picture a little bit if you change that detail, but basically not that much. The picture is going to stay the same. You really have to look at a different picture.
Well, you know, and physicians have become the dispensaries of single cures.
Absolutely.
So
that's
if you
where
go,
it comes
unfortunately,
from.
No, it doesn't come from there, because the witch doctor used to do the same thing. See, the witch doctor used to sell the very same thing. He used to shake these herbs over your head, and you would think that only the witch doctor could cure you.
That's true. There's a belief that there is something. There's one cure for
one cure, one person,
illness.
One exorcism. So you go to a physician nowadays, and he looks, and you say, I have a pain in my toe. And he says, oh, that's gout. I'll give you the pill for the gout. And then you say, and I have this thing in my ear. He says, ah, that's an infection in your ear. Take these antibiotics for your ear.
Well, and first he sends you to the ear specialist
right? And they treat you like you're in little parts.
Right.
And nobody says, let me look at the whole picture. Even what's called your general physician, your gatekeeper, for insurance purposes, nobody looks at the whole picture anymore. Okay, maybe you don't have to look at the whole picture to cure a symptom. It's absolutely true. So here's what's happened with medicine. And now medicine defies our belief that you must look at the whole picture to cure depression, because medicine comes along and it tricks us. It does a great trick, a great trick. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the medical cure for depression, and we're going to talk about it in a positive way, and we want you to know, as we're talking about it, we have this goal in mind. The goal in mind is, should you resort to a medical treatment for depression, the goal is to get off the medicine so that you could live without the medicine. It is not to stay on medicine. So let's look at how medicine works. Let's take a look at how the primary cure, we have two giant symptoms that people have died with, lived with, that go with depression. One is depression itself, the mood, the horrible mood that you can't get out of bed, that you just can't do anything. And I'm going to bring in another condition that goes along with it, believe it or not, which is called obsessive-compulsive disorder. You can't get your mind off something, and you can't get your mind off something. Now, these two things, you'd go into therapy or you'd go to a nutritionist, and you'd say to the nutritionist, I have obsessive-compulsive disorder. I wash my hands. I can't stop it. In the past, Roberta would have helped you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I still could, I still can address it nutritionally. There's always something that can be done to improve the person's nutritional status and to improve the quality of life. But to say that an obsessive compulsive disorder can be treated with nutrients, that's a long stretch, and I have not seen it work, Armand.
That's the trouble. And I've seen that, so you go to a therapist. I have seen therapy work, but it takes a long time. And then instead...
And a lot of money.
And a lot of money. And then instead you go to a physician, and a physician says, we've learned something about obsessive-compulsive disorders, and we've learned something about depression. That there is this thing in many cases, there are many of them, but I'm going to use a simple one called serotonin, which mm-hmm. we talked about. Serotonin is the electricity for your house. So instead of you having, if you have a circuit breaker that's shut off and you have no electricity to your house, we found a way to send you electricity. It's called a serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it does. Instead of the serotonin coming to you and getting washed away before you could use it, we're going to take away the thing that washes it away.
Right.
And we're going to now let the serotonin accumulate and then go into your system, and that'll fire you up. And you know something? It works.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's and now they have antidepressants that are a combination of different reuptake inhibitors for different neurotransmitters so that they can block the reuptake not only of serotonin, but of serotonin and norepinephrine and other neurotransmitters so that they, it used to be just serotonin, not anymore. So now they have broad spectrum antidepressants. Very interesting. They work.
And they not only have broad spectrum, but they have specifics.
Right.
The ones that work specifically
right,
at that.
Right, because there are different kinds of depression. One where the serotonin may be deficient, and another one where the dopamine may be deficient, or the norepinephrine.
And they design these things. They have one drug designed that not only will it help you not be depressed, but it'll pick up your sexuality, which always gets lost when you get depressed, mm-hmm. and it'll help you stop smoking.
Yeah, amazing.
I'm surprised it doesn't make toast.
Well, yeah, really.
You know what I mean?
It should.
It's like, this little pill. Now, of course, what happens is we have now gone into your house and we've lit your house up brightly. And there you were depressed. In fact, I spoke to someone today who was out of money, didn't have money for therapy, didn't want long therapy, went and took some minor medication, a small, tiny amount, and she said to me, you know, Armand, I feel light. And the word was lighter.
Yeah.
And when I think lighter, you know, people usually think in terms of weight. I think in terms of brightness.
In the case of depression, you're really on the mark.
Lighter.
Yeah.
I feel lighter because I feel like I could see what's around me again.
Right.
So the object here is that there are something new that does work, but now that it's working, of course, it's giving you this artificial source of electricity. The goal is take that and now go into some kind of exploration of how you burned out your wires in the first place.
Right. Now that you can see.
That you can see, go examine your life.
Right.
Right? Find out how you've gotten yourself into the place of depression. Repair your life, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it really we're being daring, Armand, you and I, because it sounds like we are in favor of medicating something that most people who listen to WBAI, forgive me for assuming things, but I think most people would rather not endorse medicating anything. However, what we're saying is that you know, if we approve of antibiotics for saving the life of someone who contracted syphilis or leprosy, depression is just as dangerous as leprosy.
Oh, even more.
Even more. But
Okay,
I don't
I'll
know,
take it
but
back.
But you know, depression can kill, and even if it doesn't kill, it kills the joy, it kills relationships, it kills.
Your children.
It kills children. It kills what makes life worth living. So my sense is, yes, Armand, what you said was really brilliant. Just use the medication to help you find what you really need. Medication could be looked at as a vehicle that brings you where you need to go in order to get yourself back. Medication could be the candy you give to the guardian. That entity, the entity that won't...
All right, I'll work with that.
You know, you just give him a little candy.
Well, you know, I think about... it may be a switch. I think about prostatitis, and I think about bladder infections, and there are certain people who get a lot of bladder infections. And they give them antibiotics as soon as they get it. If you have an enlarged prostate, it's very likely you're going to get a lot of bladder infection. So the way they treat the enlarged prostate is every time you get a bladder infection, they give you antibiotics. But it's not helping you find out why your prostate's enlarged.
Right.
And look, go take care of it. If you're going to find some way, and they used to have, I remember saw palmetto berries.
Mm-hmm.
I remember all these things that people tried, and over and over again they tried it. And so many things didn't work.
Right.
You know, so many things didn't work, but we had all these nutritional answers. And a couple of medications did work. But even if you took the medication, fix your diet.
Right.
What is it that's irritating this prostate? What is it that's making this depression? If you're going to take a medication and you get undepressed, this is the difficult thing. Once you get undepressed, you lose the motivation to fix that which originally stressed you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think from what I've seen, Armand, I don't know about you, but from what I've seen, these antidepressants, especially the newer ones, are really rather safe in terms of side effects, except in children. That's the only section of the population where I would be very cautious, because where you have a brain that's developing, you don't want to gamble with how it's going to develop. And if you mess with the neurotransmitters, you could really interfere with its normal development. But in an adult, an antidepressant could really give that buoyancy that allows a person to get out of the paralysis that's the typical worse symptom of depression. And then with that help, one can look into all of the factors, because again, depression is not one factor, it's multifactorial. So then one can choose to go into exercise, into spirituality, into therapy, into whatever one thinks is going to be helpful. But unless you get that support to get yourself on the path of searching, depression won't let you look for anything. Depression wants to keep you safe in the dark where nothing's going to happen.
So the new therapist nowadays, Roberta, you know, the new modern therapist, the old therapist, you'd go to the old therapist and say, oh, we'll cure your depression, we'll cure it without medication. Then they find it doesn't yield. Once you're on depression, and once you're on medication, you go to your therapist and the therapist says, how you feeling? You say, fine. They say, good. And that's it. They don't talk about anything. Mm-hmm. What the new therapist does is, let's talk about your life before you took the medication. And let's find out what was there that contributed to the medication. And let's talk about how we're going to plan to reduce this medication, but we have to fix the structure of what you had before. So for many people, example, they can't express anger. They have no way of expressing when they're angry, which is one of the signs of people who are very depressed. They don't know how to effectively communicate their anger. Right. Doesn't mean rage. So one of the things you do when they get on the medication is you start working with them on effectively communicating their anger. Mm-hmm. They develop that tool. They feel comfortable doing that. They reduce their medication. But they have this tool, and the guardian at the door, your guy, you know, Roberta, your spirit, who says, get back there in bed where you belong, right, every time you try to pick up your head. He says, well, now this person has got some weapons. I could let them out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It relents. And it relents if you will learn new things. So depression is not number one. You can't, it's absolutely curable. Number one. Number two, we are not endorsing medication for psychiatric disturbance like Risperdal and a lot of the other ones that are totally destructive, and a lot of other ones which have been totally misused, like for ADD and stuff like that. We're talking about specifically for depression. We are not endorsing those other medications. But for depression, if you can't pick your head up, and the most you have in your lifeline is a communication between this radio program and your bed, you know, I say you give a consideration to taking some small medication for now until you can pick your head up and find a therapist who will work with you. Best therapist, filled with medical information, modern therapist, knows all about the brain and transmission, right? The old psychoanalysis is no longer a form of therapy that works for depression. It might work for learning about yourself and having a way to spend your time when you retire or something. But it's not an effective tool anymore.
Right. I think the new therapist is someone who needs to know the chemistry of the brain, is someone who needs to know even anthropological knowledge. You know, you really have to work with the human condition in order to understand depression, because I also think, Armand, that, you know, if you look at it from a perspective, I mean, you could say that if you're not depressed, something's wrong with you, the way things are going in this world. So a certain level, a certain amount of depression is almost normal when the world is going through a crisis. In other words, what I am saying is that we are changing the way we look at depression. And people like Armand and myself, who we are against using drugs to fix things, but I think that all of the people who feel the same way we do about that, if you were faced with something like syphilis, would you want to mess with it and look for herbs to treat it? I think most people would, rightly so, having an option to take two antibiotics, would choose that because it makes sense. Well, think of depression. It's up there in that category. It's a killer. And Armand, I think that depression has a lot to do with a brain that was not able to develop the way it wanted to. So you're absolutely right when you say go out and learn things. I believe that's what the brain wants to do.
How much information do you learn every week, Roberta? New information, stuff you didn't know the week before.
Goodness.
You're endless, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you were doomed by the internet, right? Used to be books.
Yeah.
Now books, the hell with books. You know, you have so much information coming in that, and now you have books plus the internet. Right?
It's amazing.
So, but why would there be a therapist who doesn't know chemistry? Or who doesn't know nutrition? How could a therapist say, oh, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
And I haven't learned anything. Oh, I don't know how the SSRIs work. How could a therapist, a psychotherapist, a therapist for your mind, be uneducated? You know, what are they saying? We have so much information we have. There's so much stuff we have.
Yeah, there's really no
to
excuse
help
anymore.
Find a smart therapist, my friends. If you're going to, we're all up here. You wouldn't find a mechanic who doesn't learn about the latest in car mechanics. You know?
Right.
You wouldn't get a computer fixer who doesn't know anything about modern computers, who just knows the computers from 10 years ago. Were there computers 10 years ago? Well, all right.
There were, but they were very different from what we have now.
1994, the first cell phones, they used to be fit in a bag. They were like they weighed about 10 pounds.
Well, computers couldn't fit in this room, Armand, the first ones.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Armand DeMille, Roberta Maria Atti, we'll be back with you. We're going to be, if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach me at my office, 212-757-4488. Roberta, best by email, right, Roberta?
let me just give my website, www.creativehealthsolutions.org.
I'll be back with you tomorrow. At 1 p.m., my friends, we have a special teenage guest is going to be with us.